Simon, Baz's mouth is colder than Agatha's. Because he's a boy, I think. And then, no, because he's a monster. He's not a monster. He's just a villain. He's not a villain. He's just a boy. I'm kissing a boy. I'm kissing Baz. He's so cold, and the world is so hot. Baz, I'm going to die kissing Simon Snow. Alistair Crowley, I'm living a charmed life. Simon, if Baz thinks I'm ever letting him go, he's wrong. I like him like this, under my thumb, under my hands, not off plotting and scheming and talking to vampires. I've got you now, I think. I've finally got you where I want you. Baz, Snow has done this before. He's doing this nice thing with his chin, moving it up and down, tilting his head, pushing me back even farther. I don't try to mimic him. I just let him go. I'm going to die kissing Simon Snow. Simon Snow is going to die kissing me. Simon. Baz grabs my shoulders and pushes me off of him. It only works because I'm not expecting it. He reaches into his sleeve and pulls out his wand, then points over my shoulder, screaming, "Make a wish!" There's fire all around us now, slithering closer through the grass. Baz's spell lands and one of the trees goes out, then quickly catches fire again. Baz takes a breath and I put both hands on his chest, letting him take what he wants from me. "Make a wish!" he shouts, and his voice is thunder. The fire dies in one breath, more like it was sucked in than blown out. My ears pop and smoke pours out of the trees. I look at Baz. Was that it? Did he just need me to kiss him to snap him out of his suicidal funk? He drops his wand and reaches up to my jumper, his jumper, then pulls it down at the neck. With his other hand, he tears at my open shirt collar, popping the top button, and grabs at my cross, eyeing the chain. He gives the cross a good yank, the chain snaps and he tosses it away. Then Baz looks at me like he always looks at me when he's about to attack. Baz. Simon Snow is still going to die kissing me. Just not today. 62. Simon. I end up sitting on the ground next to Baz, facing him, kissing him. He took me by the shoulders a while ago, on either side of my collar, and he won't let go. I'm not sure what we're doing, to be perfectly honest, but nothing's on fire anymore, and I feel like maybe we've solved something, even though this is probably just a new problem. For a minute, I think about Agatha, and I feel like a bounder, but then I remember that we're not together anymore, so it's not cheating. And then I think about whether this, what's happening right now, means that I'm gay. But Baz and I are hidden in the trees, and no one can see us, and I decide I don't have to answer that last question right now. I don't have to do anything but hold on to Baz. I have to do that. I've still got my hands on his cheeks, and his cheeks aren't so cold anymore. Not where I've been touching them. And when I suck on his lips, they go almost pink. For a few seconds, anyway. I wonder how long he's wanted this. I wonder how long I've wanted it. I'd say that I didn't, that the possibility just now occurred to me for the first time. But if that's true, then why is there a list in my head of all the things I've always wanted to do to Baz? Like this. I push my hand up into his hair. It's smooth and slips through my fingers. I clench my fist in it, and he jams his face forward into mine, then just as suddenly snatches his head away. Sorry, I say. I'm out of breath. It's embarrassing. Baz lets go of my jumper and shakes his head, holding on to his forehead. No, he says. Just, where's your cross? I feel for it on the ground around us. When I find it, I hold it up between our faces. Put it back on, he says. Why? Are you going to bite me? No. Have I ever bitten you? No. You've never kissed me before either. You kissed me, Snow. I shrug. So? Are you going to bite me? Baz is getting to his feet. No. I'd just rather think less about it. I need to drink. It's been... He looks around, but it's too dark to see anything. Too long. He glances back at me, then sheepishly away. Look, I have to... hunt. Will you wait? I'll go with you, I say. Crowley, he says. You will not. I jump up. Can it be anything? What? Anything with blood, yeah? What? He says again. Yeah. I take his hand. Call something. There must be hunting spells. There are, he says, lowering his eyebrows. But they only work at close range. I squeeze his hand. He takes out his wand, watching me like I'm being an extra special idiot. Doe, he says, pointing his wand into the trees. A deer. My magic shimmers around us. No more than a minute later, a doe steps through the blackened branches. Baz shivers. You have to stop doing that. What? Godlike displays of magic. Why? I say. It's cool. It's terrifying. I grin at him. It's cool. Don't watch, he says, walking towards the deer. I keep smiling at him. He looks back at me. Don't watch. Baz. I lead the doe into the trees, where it's too dark for Snow to see us. When I'm done with it, I drop the body into a ravine. I can't remember the last time I drank so deep. When I get back, Snow's still sitting in the circle of ash. I know he can't see me, and I call out so I don't startle him. It's me, Snow. You called me Simon before. I can see it in his eyes when he finally discerns me walking towards him. I light a flame in my hand. Not in my hand, floating above it. No, I didn't. You did. Let's get back to the car, I say. The neighbors are already going to think we had some sort of dark ritual here. I'm not sure we didn't, he says, following me. Snow's quiet when we get to the car, and I'm quiet because I genuinely have no idea how to proceed. How do you pick up from, I have to stop kissing you so I can go drink some blood? You're a vampire, Snow says finally. I guess that's how you pick up. I don't answer. You really are, he says. I start the engine. I mean, I knew it, Snow says. I've known for years, but you really are. He touches my cheek. You're warmer now. It's the blood, I say. Would you be heavier if I lifted you? I imagine. I just emptied a deer. I glance over at him. He still looks like something I want to eat. Don't try. How does it work? He asks. I don't know. Magic? Blood magic? Virus? Magical virus? I don't know. How often do you have to drink? Every night, to feel good. Every few nights, to stay sane. Have you ever bitten anyone? No, I'm not a murderer. Does it have to be fatal every time? The biting? Couldn't you just drink some of a person's blood, then walk away? I can't believe you're asking me this, Snow. You, who can't walk away from half a sandwich. So you don't know. I've never tried. I'm not that. My father would kill me if I touched a person. I think he really would, if I bit a person. He probably should, anyway. Hey, Snow says, wrinkling his forehead at me. Don't. What? Think. Whatever you're thinking, stop. I exhale, frustrated.
Why doesn't this all bother you?
What? I'm a vampire. Well, it used to bother me, he says. Back when I thought you were going to drain me dry some night, or turn me into a zombie. But the last few days have been properly educational, haven't they? So now that you know I'm a vampire for certain, you don't care. Now that I know you just sneak around drinking household pets and legal game, yeah, I'm not too bothered. It's not like I'm a militant vegetarian. And you still don't believe that I'm dead? He shakes his head once, firmly. I do not believe that you're dead. We're at my driveway now, and I turn in. Sunlight burns me, I say. He shrugs. Me too. You're an idiot, Snow. You called me Simon before. No, I didn't. Simon. I'm not sure why I'm so happy. Nothing's changed. Has anything changed? The kissing. That's new. The wanting to kiss. The looking at Baz and thinking about the way his hair falls in a lazy wave over his forehead. Yeah, nope. I've thought about that before. Baz is a vampire. That's not news. Baz is apparently the world's most reluctant, least blood-sucking vampire, which is a bit of a surprise. And also, apparently, the best-looking, now that I've seen a few. I want to kiss a bloke. That is a change, but not one I'm prepared to think about right now. Again. I want to kiss him again. We park the car in an old barn that's been converted into a garage, then go into the house through the kitchen door. Quietly, so we don't wake anyone. Are you hungry? Baz asks. Yeah. He pokes around the refrigerator, just your typical teenage vampire getting a midnight snack. He shoves a casserole dish into my arms, then grabs some forks. Milk? He asks. Coke? Milk, I say. I'm grinning. I can't stop grinning. He puts the carton on top of the casserole, grabs some cloth napkins from the drawer, then heads back up to his room. It's a struggle to keep up. I wish I knew what he was thinking. Baz. I don't know what I'm thinking. Simon. When we get up to his room, Baz turns on a lamp. The shade is dark red, so it doesn't give out much light, and sits on the floor at the end of his bed, even though the room is full of comfortable things to sit on. I sit down next to him, and he takes the casserole dish from me and casts a quick, "You're getting warmer," then opens the lid. It's shepherd's pie. "Do you need to eat?" I ask, "or do you just like it?" "I need it," he says, scooping up a bite, avoiding my eyes. "Just not as much as other people do." "How do you know that you're not immortal?" He hands me a fork. No more questions. We finish the shepherd's pie, eating out of the bowl on Baz's lap. He chews with his hand over his mouth. I try to remember whether I've ever seen him eat before. I finish the milk. He doesn't want any. When we're done, he sets the dishes outside his door, then starts a fire in the fireplace with his wand. I crawl over to sit next to him. "You're a pyro," I say. He shrugs, staring into the fire. "You're not thinking about burning the house down, are you?" "No, Snow. I don't have a death wish. I wish I did. It would make everything easier. Please stop talking like that." He doesn't say anything for a moment, and then he turns to me abruptly. "Is that why you kissed me? To keep me from killing myself?" I shake my head. Not exactly. I mean, I did want to keep you from killing yourself.
Why then?
He asks. Why did I kiss you?
Yeah.
I guess I wanted to, I say, shrugging.
Since when?
I shrug again, and it pisses him off. He wedges another log into the fire.
Did you want me to? I ask.
No, he says. Why would I want that? Why would the thought even occur to me? Hey, you know what would fix this miserable situation with the vampires and my mother and the war and the decline of magic?
Snogging my half-wit roommate,
the one who will probably fuck my life for good someday. That's a plan.
You don't have to be such a prat,
I say. We're on the same side here.
For the moment.
Baz says, you'll help me find out who killed my mother. I'll kill whoever it is, and then you'll make sure I get thrown in a tower for it.
You've already won. As soon as you tell the mage I'm a vampire, he'll pull out my fangs and snap my wand. I'll end up in Covent Garden, licking Nicodemus's heels, and that's if I'm lucky.
Does Baz really think I'd do that?
Now?
Those vampires were in awe of you, I say. They wanted to put a crown on you.
Are you suggesting I cross over?
No, I'm just saying you're amazing today.
You're not listening to me at all, are you?
I am, I say, but you're wrong. Nothing's going back to normal after this. How could it?
Because we're friends now.
Because we're more than that.
Baz picks up a poker and jabs at the fire.
One kiss and you think the world is upside down.
Two kisses, I say, and I take him by the back of his neck.
Baz, I don't know what time it is.
The darkness has changed colour in the room, like the sun is sneaking up on us. We're lying on our backs next to the fire, what's left of it, holding hands.
Snow sighs and squeezes my hand, and when I yelp, he frowns and holds it up between us. There's a cross-shaped burn on my palm from when I yanked his necklace off last night. His cross is on the other side of the room now. Snow took care of it himself this time.
He brings my palm to his mouth and kisses it.
I didn't think you were gay, I say, quietly.
He shrugs. Half of Snow's sentences are shrugs.
What does that mean?
I whisper.
I don't know, he says, closing his eyes. I guess I've never thought much about what I am. I've got a lot on my plate.
That makes me laugh, a juvenile, snorty laugh. Snow starts laughing with me.
A lot on your plate, I repeat.
Are you gay? He asks, looking over at me, still laughing.
Yeah, I say, completely.
So you do this all the time?
I roll my eyes.
No.
Then how do you know you're gay?
I just do.
How do you not know?
Dunno, he says.
He laces his fingers in mine and holds my hand loosely.
I try not to think about being gay,
about anything, he says.
I make lists of things not to think about.
Why?
Because it hurts to think about things that you can't have or help. It's better not to think about it.
I rub my thumb back and forth on the back of his hand. Am I on your list?
He laughs again and shakes his head. His hair brushes against mine.
Fat chance. He sounds sleepy. Trying not to think about you. It's like trying not to think about an elephant that's standing on my chest.
I think about that. About Snow thinking about me.
I grin. I can't decide whether that's a compliment.
Me neither, he says.
So you don't think, I say.
It's pointless.
I raise myself up on one elbow and look down at him.
I don't understand you. You're the most powerful magician alive, who's ever lived, probably. You can have anything you want. How is it pointless for you to think about that?
Simon pushes up on both elbows and lets his head fall in my direction.
Because it doesn't matter. In the end, I'll just do what's expected of me.
When the humdrum comes after me, I fight him. When he sends dragons, I kill them. When you trick me into meeting a chimera, I go off. I don't get to choose or plan. I just take it as it comes. And someday, something will catch me unawares or be too big to fight. But I'll fight it anyway. I'll fight until I can't anymore.
What is there to think about?
He drops back onto the floor. I reach out and very carefully push Snow's curls back off his forehead. He closes his eyes.
I always thought you were going to kill me, I say.
Me too, he says. I tried not to think about it. I wind my fingers in his hair. It's thicker than mine, and curlier, and it shines golden in the firelight. There's a mole on his cheek that I've wanted to kiss since I was 12.
I do.
For a long time, I say.
Hmm?
He opens one eye. I've wanted to do this for a long time, almost since we met.
Snow closes his eyes again and smiles like he's trying not to.
I smiled too, only because he isn't watching.
I thought it was going to kill me.
63. Agatha.
Penelope wakes me by pulling the covers down. I yank them back up.
Wake up, Agatha, we have to go.
I'll go later. I'm sleeping.
No, we have to go. Now, come on.
I'm lying at the end of her bed. We slept this way, and she kept kicking me in the back.
Go away, Penelope.
I'm trying, but you need to drive me.
I open my eyes. Drive you where?
I can't tell you. Yet, but I will.
Somewhere in London?
No.
Penny, it's Christmas Eve. I have to go home.
I know.
She's already dressed. She's got her hair pulled back in a giant frizzy ponytail that would probably be nice and wavy if she'd put any product at all in it.
Anything. Hand lotion. Shaving cream. And you can go home, Agatha, but first, I need you to drive me to the country.
Why?
It's a surprise, she says. No.
An adventure?
I'm going home.
Penny sighs.
We have got to help Simon.
I close my eyes and roll away from her.
Agatha, come on. Is that a yes or a no? If it's a no, can I take your Volvo?
64. Baz.
I wake up at least an hour before Snow. It's hard not to watch him sleep. I've done it before, excessively, but that's when I thought I was never going to get any more than that. That's when creeping on Snow felt like my life's consolation prize. I'm still not sure what's happening between us. We kissed last night, and this morning, a lot. Does that mean we get to do it today? He's not even sure that he's gay, which is moronic, but Snow is a moron, so... He's lying on my couch, and I'm sitting at the end, next to his legs. He rolls into the cushions, burying his face.
You don't get to watch me sleep now, he says,
just because we're snogging. Just because we snogged, I correct him. And I'm not watching you. I'm trying to figure out how to wake you up without you pulling a sword on me.
I'm up, he says,
dragging one of the cushions down over his head.
Bunce is on her way.
He lifts the pillow up.
What? Why?
I told her we have new information. She has some too. We're having a briefing. He sits up.
So she's just coming here?
Yes.
To your gothic mansion?
It's not gothic, it's Victorian.
Snow rubs his hair.
Is this a trap?
Are you luring us all here to kill us? He seems genuinely suspicious.
How did I lure you? You hitchhiked to my door. After you invited me, he snaps.
Yes, you caught me. I'm a villain. I stand up. I'll see you in the library when you've cleaned up. I try not to look like I'm stomping away from him. I wait till I leave the room, then stomp down the stairs. I don't know what I expected. For Snow to open his eyes and see me there, then pull me into one of his expert kisses and say, "Good morning, darling." Simon Snow is never going to call me darling. Though he did just say we were snogging. We don't have a chalkboard in the house, but my stepmother has a giant whiteboard in the kitchen that she uses to keep track of all my siblings' lessons and sport. I take a photo of it with my mobile, then erase it and lift it off the wall. My 7-year-old sister watches me do it.
"I'm telling Mum,"
she says. "If you do, I'll stop up all the chimneys so Father Christmas can't get in."
"There are too many chimneys,"
she counters. "Not for me," I say. "I'm willing to put the time in."
"Well, he'll just come to the door."
"Don't be an idiot, Mordelia. Father Christmas never comes to the door. And if he did, I'd tell him he had the wrong house." I'm carefully maneuvering the whiteboard through the kitchen door.
"I'm telling Mum,"
she shouts after me. I prop the whiteboard up in the library, and I'm making columns, everything we know and everything we still don't, when Snow walks into the room. I ignore him. "It's not that I think you'll betray us," he says. I make a noise that I'm afraid sounds a lot like harumph. Simon hassles his curls with one hand. "It's just... well, it's still weird between us, isn't it?" I continue ignoring him. "I mean, you haven't said that things are different now for you." "I've said that I'm not going to kill you." "No, you haven't," I say. "It must have been implied." "No." All right." He clears his throat. "Baz, I'm not going to kill you. I'm not going to fight you at all, am I?" "Good," I say, stepping back from the whiteboard and admiring my columns. "That will make things much easier."
"What things?"
"Crowley, I don't know. Whatever the families cook up for me. Probably I'll be the one they ask to poison your Ribena, now that you trust me. What I can promise, Snow, is to weep over your corpse."
"Or not,"
he says. "Fine, I'll weep in privacy when the day arrives."
"No," he insists. "I'm serious. Or not."
I look over my shoulder at him.
"What are you trying to say?"
"That we don't have to fight." "You realize that your mentor has raided my house twice this month?"
"Yeah. I mean, no, I didn't realize that. But the point is, I didn't raid your house."
"What if," he says, stepping closer, "I help you find out who killed your mum, then you help me fight the humdrum, and we just forget about the rest?"
"The rest," I say, turning around. "Way to oversimplify a decade of corruption and abuse of power."
"Are you talking about the mage?"
"Yes."
He looks pained.
"I wish you wouldn't."
"How can I not talk about the mage when I'm talking to the mage's heir?"
"Is that how you think of me?"
"Isn't that how you think of yourself?" "Oh, right, I forgot. You don't think at all." Simon groans and rakes at his hair.
"Jesus Christ, do you ever not go for the lowest blow? Like, do you ever think maybe I shouldn't say the most cruel thing right now?"
"I'm trying to be efficient." He leans against the shelf where I've set the whiteboard.
"It's vicious."
"You should talk, Snow. You always go for the kill shot."
"When I'm fighting, we're not fighting. We're always fighting,"
I say, going back to the board. I'm facing the board. He's standing next to me, facing the room. He leans towards me a bit without looking at me and bumps his arm against mine, ruining the word I'm writing.
"Or not,"
he says. I raise the word and start over. I'm working on the things we still don't list. I'm tempted to write everything important, and also whether Simon Snow is actually gay, and whether I'll live forever. I'll help you find out who killed your mother, he says again, like he's laying out a plan. And you help me stop the humdrum. That's a shared goal, yeah? And then we'll worry about the rest later. Is this how you get what you want? By just repeating it until it comes true? Isn't that how you cast a spell? My chalk hand drops and I turn to him, exasperated. Simon! Aha! He shouts, standing up straight and pointing. It scares the hell out of me. I've seen him kill a dog with less effort. He said the dog was where. I think it was just excited. You did it again! Did what? I say, slapping his hand away from my face. He sticks his other hand in my face, pointing. Called me Simon! What would you prefer, chosen one? His hand dips. I prefer Simon, actually. I like it. I swallow, and it must be obvious how nervous I am because he looks down at my neck. Simon, I say, and swallow again. You're being idiotic. Because I like this better than fighting. There is no this, I protest. You slept in my arms, he says, fitfully. He lets his hand fall. And I catch it, because I'm weak, because I'm a constant disappointment to myself, because he's standing right there with his tawny skin and his moles and his morning breath. Simon, I say. He squeezes my hand. It's not that I don't prefer this. It's that I sigh. I can't even imagine it. My family objects to everything the mage stands for. I know, he says emphatically, but I actually think we have bigger problems than that. If we find out who killed your mum, and then we go after the humdrum together, maybe we can help everyone see that we're better off uniting, and then the whole world of mages will see how much better it is to work together, and we'll all sing a song about cooperation. I was thinking we'd stop cursing each other, he says. And locking each other up in towers. Potato, potato. He pulls at my arm and I fall forward a bit. Or maybe I'm swooning. It's not beneath me. Snow is. Beneath me. Always. By at least 3 inches. How can you be like this? I whisper. How can you even trust me after everything? I'm not sure I do trust you, he whispers back. He reaches out with his other hand and touches my stomach. I feel it drop to the floor. My stomach, that is. But, he shrugs. He's rubbing my stomach, and I close my eyes because it feels good, so good, and also because I want him to kiss me again. Snow kissed me last night until my mouth was sore. He kissed me so much I was worried I'd turn him with all my saliva. He held himself up on all fours above me and made me reach up for his mouth, and I did. I would again. I'd cross every line for him. I'm in love with him, and he likes this better than fighting.
65. Simon.
If Penelope were here, I'd tell her she's wrong about me. She thinks I can solve everything with my sword, but apparently I can also solve things with my mouth, because so far, every time I lean into Baz, he shuts up and closes his eyes. If Penelope were here, she'd make me explain myself. Thank magic she isn't here yet. I've just pushed my fingers between Baz's shirt buttons. His skin is room temperature. Then someone clears her throat. Baz stands up straight, which means his mouth jerks away from mine. I step away so quickly, I'm not sure I didn't teleport. His maid, or nanny, or whatever she is standing in the archway. She's wearing a black dress and a white apron. Mr. Pitch, she says, and she must get paid to pretend she doesn't notice anything around here because she doesn't even flinch. Boys kissing is probably mild. She's probably walked into interrogations and goat sacrifices.
You have guests, she says. Two young ladies.
Thank you, Vera, Baz says without a hint of apology.
Send them in.
He straightens his shirt and smooths down his hair.
Girls, I say. More than one?
Agatha, Baz says over my shoulder. Welcome.
Hello, Bunce.
I spin around. Penelope and Agatha are standing in the library door. They must not have waited for the maid to come back for them. Penny's already eyeing the library bookshelves lustfully. Agatha's looking at me.
What are you doing here?
I say.
Baz called us,
Penny says. She walks into the room and hands me a plate of gingerbread biscuits covered in plastic wrap.
What are you doing here?
Agatha asks me.
Agatha was staying with me, Penny explains. And she had her car, so...
Please come in, Agatha, Baz invites. Could I get you both something to drink?
I'll have tea, Penny says.
Excellent, he says, striding past Agatha out the door.
What is this?
Agatha says.
Penelope wouldn't even tell me where we were going. What are you doing here, Simon?
I frown at Penny. She unwraps the plate of gingerbread and takes one.
I didn't know what I was allowed to say, and I didn't think she'd drive me if I told her where we were going. You two need to get over this, Simon. If you can make peace with Baz, you can make peace with Agatha.
Temporary peace, Baz says, already back with tea and a plate of fruit. He must have used magic.
I'll pour, Penny says. Temporary peace?
Agatha asks.
Penny hands her a cup of tea. Are you all possessed?
She hands the tea back. I'm not drinking this.
Baz looks at me. Your call, Snow. Do you trust her?
Agatha's fuming.
Does he trust me?
Of course, I say. And it's true, to some extent, anyway.
I trust Agatha not to be evil.
I don't trust her alone with Baz, though I guess I should rethink all that in light of recent information.
Agatha, we're trying to find out who killed Baz's mother, Penelope cuts in.
The humdrum killed her, Agatha says.
Penny holds her teacup up, gesturing with it.
Not according to her, he didn't.
Agatha looks confused and a little pissed off. I look to Baz. It seems like he should be the one to tell this part, as much of it as he wants to, but he's back at his whiteboard, filling out the Everything We Know column. Ghosts, visitings, vampires. Penny jumps up as soon as Baz adds Nicodemus to the list. I take her place on the couch next to Agatha.
When did this all start?
Agatha asks me.
When the veil thinned, I say.
Natasha Grimm-Pitch came through to find Baz and found me instead. She wants him to find her murderer. When Baz came back, I told him I'd help him figure it out.
Agatha's eyebrows are almost touching in the middle and her nose is wrinkled.
Why?
Because it seemed like the right thing to do.
It did?
I shrug.
Yeah, I mean, it was an attack on Watford. A murder.
What did the mage say about all this?
He didn't. Exactly. I look down at my lap, scratching the hair above my neck.
Penny and Baz don't think we should tell him.
Penny and Baz think?
Was Baz's mum, I say. So I feel like I should respect his wishes on this.
But Baz hates you.
I nod.
I know. We're sort of... on a truce.
Simon... Listen to yourself. A truce.
You went to a vampire bar, Penny shouts from across the room. Baz must be catching her up.
What a pair of splendid morons you are. Did you take photos?
Vampires don't show up in photos, I say.
That's mirrors, you dolt, Baz says.
You can't see yourself in the mirror.
Baz ignores me and goes back to telling Penny about Nicodemus.
But...
Agatha is staring at the two of them.
Baz is dark. He's evil.
I thought you never believed that, I say.
I absolutely believed it,
She says, "You told us he was a vampire, Simon."
"Wait."
She turns to him, then back to me. "Did he just now admit that he is a vampire?"
I pull at the hair on my neck. I can tell I'm making an idiotic face.
"I'm not sure it's that simple."
"That Baz is a vampire?"
"No, he's definitely a vampire," I say. "I guess it is that simple. But you can't tell anyone, Agatha."
"Simon, you've already told everyone. You've been telling everyone since we were third years."
"Yeah, but nobody believed me."
"I believed you."
"One of you," Penelope says loudly.
"What does Nicodemus mean by that?
That it was another mage who let the vampires in?
Or one of you pitches, someone in your family?"
"It wouldn't have been someone in my family," Baz protests. "Never."
"Your relatives are famous betrayers," Penny argues. "There was a time in the 1700s when they weren't even allowed to sign contracts."
"Yes, but we never betray each other."
Baz keeps telling Penny about Nicodemus and Ebb.
"Simon's the one who broke it all open," he says, without even opening a book.
"Typical,"
Penny says. Baz doesn't tell her the way Nicodemus threatened him or taunted him. He doesn't tell her much about Fiona. He doesn't say how fucking cool he was at the bar, or how he lost it completely as soon as he walked out. How I kissed him to save his life, and then kissed him just because I wanted to. I'm just now realizing that maybe I could have saved his life some other way.
"So you're staying here?" Agatha says to me.
"No, I just came to tell Baz about Nicodemus and then I didn't ever ride home."
"Who's Nicodemus again?"
"The person who knows who the traitor is," Penny answers, then turns to me.
"I can't believe you guys just walked away from him, knowing he has all the answers. If he'd told you who'd tried to hire him, we'd be done now."
"We couldn't compel him," I say, "and we couldn't beat it out of him. We were surrounded by vampires."
Penelope folds her arms. "I guess."
"The ethics on you, Bunce," Baz says. "What do you find out, Penny?" I ask.
"Not much in comparison."
She leans back against the bookshelf and crosses her ankles.
"I talked to my dad about the humdrum. He confirmed that nobody blamed the humdrum for the Watford tragedy until years later. They just thought it was another vampire attack." "Hey, Agatha, are you caught up yet? Maybe we could talk to your parents. Your dad might remember something."
"I'm not caught up," Agatha says.
"Well, catch up," Penny says. "It's all on the whiteboard. I've got to say, it's good to have you back."
"I'm not sure that I am back,"
Agatha mutters. Only I hear her.
"It's been really good," I tell her. "Actually, working with Baz instead of fighting with him."
"Is that why you were looking for him?"
she asks.
"That night on the ramparts, because of a visiting?"
"Sort of."
Penny and Baz keep adding notes to the board. They're fighting over the dry erase marker. I feel like I should stay sitting with Agatha and answer her questions, but she doesn't say any more, and she still won't drink any tea. Penny drills Baz until she finds out about Fiona's school memory book. Then she wants to see it. Then Penny and Agatha spend an hour poring over the pictures. Baz's stepmum brings us sandwiches. When she walks in, Baz and Penny move to block the whiteboard. Baz looking cool. Penny looking like she has a terrible secret. I tried to convince them that it's stupid to have all our notes out in the open and that we should erase the whiteboard now, but they're both addicted to the thing. Then Baz's dad comes home from work. He still seems confounded by my presence, but he's thrilled to meet Penny and Agatha, even though I know he doesn't get along with their parents. Maybe he just has nice manners. Baz keeps rolling his eyes. By late afternoon, we're all cream-crackered, and we haven't made any real progress. Even Penny has abandoned the whiteboard. I'm still sitting next to Agatha on the couch. Baz is sitting in a stuffed chair across from us. I think Agatha and I are both watching him, but he rarely looks our way. Penelope slumps down onto the arm of Baz's chair. I see his nostrils twitch, but he doesn't pull away. I guess he's gone this long without eating anyone, so I'm not going to be bothered about it.
"We have to go back to Nicodemus," Penny says. It's what Headmistress Grimpitch told us to do.
We can't compel him, I say, and he's not going to tell us anything.
Maybe you guys didn't ask nicely enough, she says, waggling her eyebrows.
Corking idea, Penelope, Baz says. We'll have you seduce him. No, I say.
I was thinking Agatha, Penny says. I'm not even here, Agatha says. When you're all put on trial before the coven, I wasn't here.
We haven't broken any laws, I object.
Oh, like that matters, she says.
Hear, hear, Baz agrees. You know, I've always expected to be tried unfairly before the coven someday, but I never thought I'd be in such good company. Nobody's seducing a vampire, I say. Baz frowns at me. Unless, I say, we could convince your aunt. No.
I don't know how you're going to get this vampire to confess to murder, Agatha says flatly, when you can't even get Baz to tell you where he was for 2 months.
He was ill, Penny says.
She turns to Baz. Weren't you? You said you were ill. You certainly looked ill. He wasn't ill, Agatha says. Dev said he was missing.
Baz's lip curls. Dev told you that.
I told you your relatives are betrayers, Penny says.
Baz sneers some more. He just told Agatha because he has a dirty crush on her.
See? Penny says. I told you we could use Agatha to seduce people.
You said you were ill, I say to Baz. He looks at me, narrows his eyes into a glare, then looks away. I was ill, he says, crossing one leg over the other and smoothing out his dark trousers. But I was also missing.
Where were you? I demand.
He meets my eyes again, still glaring. I really don't think this is relevant.
Everything is relevant, Penny says.
He clears his throat and looks down at his knees. Was kidnapped. I sit up.
Kidnapped?
Kidnapped, he repeats, then clears his throat again. By numpties.
Numpties? Penny says. Was it an accident? Did they mistake you for a hot water bottle?
They put a bag over my head while I was leaving the club, actually.
Agatha sits up. You were kidnapped at the club. Why didn't you tell anyone? I ask.
Well, I tried, he says. I guess nobody heard me shouting from inside the coffin. I'm still holding a sandwich. I drop it.
The numpties kept you in a coffin for 2 months.
6 weeks, he mutters. And I think they thought they were doing me a favour with the coffin.
Penny shoves his shoulder. Basil, why didn't you tell us?
Why didn't I tell you? He's glaring at her now. Think about it. Who would pay numpties to kidnap the heir to the House of Pitch? Who has it out for my family right now? Who's raided my house twice in the last month? Who threw my cousin in a tower? Not the mage, I say. Of course the mage.
Baz has got both hands in his pockets and he's leaning forward over his crossed legs, his elbows flaring out. He thought he could terrify my parents so they'd cooperate with his latest campaign. It must drive him mad to see me at school and know I got away from him.
Why didn't I tell you?
Hey, Simon, your Jedi master is out to get me. Do we still have a truce?
How did you get away? I ask.
Fiona found me. She's fearless.
That's why you were so thin, I say, and pale, and why you're still limping.
Did they hurt you?
He sits back, looking down at his lap. Not intentionally, I don't think. They did something to my leg when they caught me, and it didn't get a chance to heal.
You should go see my dad, Agatha says.
Is he a vampire doctor now?
Was there a ransom? Penny asks.
Yeah, Baz says. My family wouldn't pay it. Pitches don't negotiate for hostages.
If I'm ever kidnapped at the club, Agatha says, tell my parents to pay the ransom.
My aunt found me with a souped-up finding spell, Baz says. She canvassed most of London.
I would have helped, I say.
It wouldn't have taken 6 weeks with me helping.
Baz is scornful. You never would have helped my family.
I would. It was driving me mental not knowing where you were. I thought you were going to jump out from every corner.
It wasn't the mage, Penny says, thoughtfully.
This is why I didn't tell you lot, Baz says. I knew you wouldn't believe me. You're so convinced that the mage is a hero.
No, Penny cuts him off.
It wasn't the mage, Baz. It was the murderer.
I thought it was Numpty's, Agatha says. It was the same person who sent vampires after your mother, Penny says, jumping to her feet. They knew that the veil was lifting and that there was a good chance your mum would come back to talk to you. It was a classic visit, a dangerous secret, a crime against justice. The traitor was worried that Natasha Pitch might come back and knew that she'd come back to you. So he, or she, I guess, hid you. This used to happen all the time. There's a family in Scotland who lost a different family member every 20 years because the murderer kept killing the person most likely to avenge the previous deaths.
No one wanted a ransom for you, Baz. They just wanted you tucked away until the visitings were over.
Baz looks at her, licks his lips.
Not the mage, he asks.
The murderer, Penny says, looking all too pleased about it, considering that the murderer is still at large.
If that's true, Agatha says, then we need to tell the mage about all of this immediately.
66. Penelope.
All right, fine. It was probably a mistake to bring Agatha. But it had gone on too long, all this tension between her and Simon. I didn't want them to go all year without sorting it out. And I thought maybe a good mystery might distract her from, well, from everything else. I should have remembered that Agatha doesn't appreciate a good mystery, and also that she's the world's worst snitch. We have to tell the mage, she says, crossing her arms and then her legs. You all know it. She's doing her best not to look at either of the boys. I also should have thought through their whole love triangle dynamic before I dragged Agatha to Baz's house. But their whole love triangle dynamic is so persistently stupid, you can't blame me for blocking it out. Agatha, I say, we're just starting to make some progress here.
Towards what?
She asks. Infiltrating the Numpties?
We could just talk to them, Simon offers.
Can Numpties talk?
Barely,
Baz says.
And what are we going to ask them? Lose something?
We're going to ask who hired them to kidnap you, I say.
They might not feel cooperative, Baz says. My aunt did kill a few of them.
Simon looks horrified.
Your aunt murdered Numpties. In self-defense.
Did they attack her?
In my self-defense,
Baz says.
And are you really taking their side? They held me hostage for 6 weeks.
Your aunt should have asked for help.
If you'd been near Snow, all the Numpties would be dead.
Maybe,
Simon sticks his chin out, but it wouldn't have taken 6 weeks.
So, we'll interrogate the remaining Numpties, I say.
We will not, Agatha says.
We'll tell the mage and let him handle this. It's his job to handle it. We're talking about kidnapping and murder.
Look here, well-beloved,
Baz says.
We're not going to the mage. We've all already agreed.
Well, I didn't agree.
Agatha looks furious and also fed up.
And also, I think she was supposed to be home 2 hours ago. Simon puts his hand on her shoulder.
Baz, she's right. A lot has changed. We know about Nicodemus now, and we've connected your mum's murder to your kidnapping.
No, I say, we're not going to the mage. Simon looks surprised.
Penny, come on, why not?
Because Baz is right, Simon. The mage isn't in any mood to help the Pitch family right now. And he's right that we already agreed not to involve the mage.
Agatha huffs.
I know you didn't agree, Agatha, I say, but you also don't have to be part of this. She huffs again. I mean, you don't have to be part of this from now on. I'm sorry I dragged you here. I need to get home, she says. It's Christmas Eve. I look at my watch. Damn, my mum's going to hit the roof. We've got to go. We'll regroup on Boxing Day, yeah? The boys nod, both of them staring at the floor. There's not much to gather up. Baz goes to get our coats. I'm disappointed that we didn't get to see more of his house or even dig into the library. I went to the bathroom a few times, but it's just down the hall, and it seems like a modern addition. There's a Japanese toilet in there with comforting music and a seat warmer. Agatha pulls on a soft white hat and a matching scarf. Come on, Simon. Didn't you bring a coat? Simon is still sitting on one of the couches, thinking too hard about something, probably about killing numpties. He looks up. What? Come on, Agatha says. We have to go. Go where? We came to get you, she says. He still looks confused. To take me back to Watford. Agatha furrows her brow. She's going to have a vicious wrinkle there someday, and I'm just going to laugh about it. Just come on, she says. It's Christmas Eve. My parents will be glad to see you. Simon smiles like somebody just handed him a huge present. Baz is standing behind him, grimacing. Irritating love triangle dynamic. I think Simon is right. You really can see Baz's fangs sometimes through his cheeks. Baz clears his throat, and Simon looks back over his shoulder. Simon says.
Well, actually, I feel like maybe I should keep working on this numpties thing.
Mary Morgana, does Simon actually realise that getting back together with Agatha would be a terrible idea? Simon! Agatha is staring hard at him, but I'm not sure what she means by it. I don't think she wants to get back together either. She's probably just tired and tired of ignoring each other. Maybe she feels like a jerk about leaving him at Pitch Manor on Christmas Eve. I know I do. The vibe here is very, let's kill a virgin and write a great Led Zeppelin album. Though the library is lovely. And Baz's stepmom seems very nice. I wonder, is Simon still a virgin? Surely not. Maybe.
But I thought,
Simon says. Come on, Agatha says. If you don't come, who'll eat all the leftovers and make sure we watch Doctor Who? Simon glances back at Baz. Baz still looks pissed off. I wonder if there's an Agatha clause in the truce. Maybe she's a no-fly zone. But that's not fair. Agatha isn't just Simon's not-at-all-suited-for-him ex-girlfriend. She's also one of his only friends, and she will be, even after this truce has ended. Come on, Simon, I say. We'll regroup after Christmas.
Right.
He turns to me.
Right. I'll get my jacket.
67. Baz. I'm holding my violin, not playing it, when my father comes back to the library.
The Majorlings are gone, he says.
I nod. He walks into the room and sits on the long horsehair couch where Simon spent most of the afternoon. Father's dressed for dinner. We dress for dinner on Sundays and holidays, and tonight he's wearing a black suit with a red sheen. His hair went white when my mother died, but it looks like mine, thick, with a bit of a wave and a stark widow's peak. It's nice to see that my hairline probably won't recede completely. Everyone says I favour my mother in appearance. We are from the Egyptian branch of the Pitch family, but I consciously mimic the way my father carries himself, the way you can never see what's happening behind his eyes. I've practiced that in front of the mirror. Of course I can see myself in the mirror. Simon Snow is an idiot. Currently, I'm pretending that I don't care that Snow left. I'm pretending I don't even notice he's gone. I'm not sure why it surprised me when he left. I'd been reminding him for the last 24 hours that we weren't friends, kisses notwithstanding.
so I shouldn't be shocked and dismayed that he left with the two people who actually are his friends, with the one person he's always wanted, as long as I've known him. Father clears his throat and crosses his legs idly. Are you in over your head, Basildon? No one ever calls me Tyrannus. My mother insisted on it because it's a family name, but my father hates it. No, I say. Is this part of some mad scheme of your aunt's? He sounds bored. He picks at his trouser leg, pulling the crease straight. No, I say blandly. It's a school project, actually. I thought I'd play nice for once, see where it gets me. He raises an eyebrow. It's so quiet in the library, I can hear his watch tick. Because it would be a bad time to make a move, he says, independently. The families have their own plan. With a role for me? Not yet. I'd like you to finish school first. I'd like you to recover. I was talking to your mother. She thought you might like to speak to someone. About your situation. He calls Daphne my mother. I don't mind. A doctor, I say. More of a counsellor. A psychologist. That didn't come out bored. I settle my face, clear my throat. Father, I say more calmly. I can't imagine what part of my situation could be discussed with a normal therapist. Your mother. She mentioned that you're already accustomed to speaking about your condition carefully. You could avoid specifics. I'm fine, I say. Your mother, I'll consider it. He stands, gracefully, shoots his cuffs. Dinner will be ready soon, he says. You should change. Of course, Father. Daphne bought me a grey suit for the holidays, but I'm stuck in grey every day at school, and I'm already grey enough, so I put on a dark green one that I picked out myself. Greenish-black with a bit of silver. I'm just knotting the blood-pink tie when Mordelia opens my bedroom door. Knock, I say to her in the mirror. You're... Leave and knock. I'm ignoring you until you do. She groans and leaves, slamming the bedroom door behind her, then bangs on it. I'd despair if she were a pit. She doesn't behave as if she has an ounce of grim in her either. My stepmother's blood is thin as gruel. Come in, I say. Mordelia opens the door and leans in. Your friend's back. I turn from the mirror. What? The chosen one. Simon? She nods. I push past her out the door, muttering, don't call him that, then run down the stairs. If he's here, something must be wrong. Maybe they were attacked on the road. I slow down when I get to the dining room. Simon is standing in the foyer, covered in snow and muck. Again. I put my hands in my pocket. Deja vu, Snow. He runs his hand through his hair, smearing it with mud. There's still no good way to get from the road to your house. And you still can't remember a basic weatherization spell. Where are the girls? Halfway to London by now. Why aren't you with them? He shrugs. I walk down the last steps into the foyer and take out my wand. He holds up his hand. I'd prefer to just take a shower and change if you don't mind. Why'd you come back? I say, softly, just in case Mordelia is lurking around. I can leave if I'm not welcome. That's not what I meant. I thought you'd be happy that I came back. I step closer to him, and my voice drops to a menace. Why? So we can tumble around and kiss and pretend to be happy boyfriends. He shakes his head, like he's at his limit, then rolls his eyes mightily. Yeah, I guess so. Yes, let's do that, okay? I fold my arms. Take off your shoes. I'll find you something to wear. You'll make us late to dinner. Simon looks stunning in a grey suit. Simon, I came back because I was afraid of what might happen if I didn't. Baz might just pretend that nothing had ever happened between us. He'd make me feel like I dreamt this whole thing, like I was a maniac and a moron for believing he'd ever felt something for me. I was already feeling like a maniac and a moron in the car with Penny and Agatha.
Agatha was on a rant, which almost never happens. It usually only happens when we're stranded or kidnapped or stuck at the bottom of a well that's rapidly filling with water. But she was clearly fed up with the both of us.
"What were you thinking?" she said. "Those are the pitches. He is a vampire." "That's never stopped you from cavorting with him in the Wavering Wood," Penny said.
"That happened once," Agatha said, "and it was an adolescent crush."
"It was," I said.
"I was only hoping for a kiss. I wasn't conspiring against the mage."
"You were?" I couldn't even figure out who I was jealous over in this situation. Both of them, I guess.
"We aren't conspiring against the mage," Penny argued. "We're conspiring apart from him."
"As far as I can tell," Agatha said, "you don't know what you're doing." I was worried that she was right. Everything was turned upside down. Cooperating with Baz, keeping secrets from the mage. What would Agatha say if she knew about the kissing?
"You're not even gay, Simon."
I rubbed my palms into my eyes.
"The prophecy doesn't actually say that Simon has to listen to the mage," Penny was saying. "It says that he's here for the world of mages. That includes Baz's mum."
She glanced back at me.
"Simon, are you okay?"
"Headache," I said.
"You're not even gay," she'd say. "And he's not even alive."
"Do you want me to try and shrink it?" Penny offered, leaning back between the bucket seats. "My head."
"Your headache."
"Merlin, no. I'll be fine."
"You're not even gay, and he's not even alive, and that isn't even the worst part of this idea. What will the mage say?"
"It isn't your job to solve murders," Agatha said. "You're not the police."
"Now there's an interesting concept," Penny said. "Magical law enforcement."
"I'd like magical social programs as well, plus a department of health and wellness."
"The mage's men are the police," Agatha said. "The mage's men are some sort of personal army."
"You're talking about your brother," Agatha shouted, pulling herself forward over the steering wheel.
"I know," Penny shouted back. "We're in desperate need of reforms."
"But the mage is the great reformer."
"Oh, anyone can call themselves that. Besides, Agatha,
I know you think the mage is a tax-happy interloper with a chip on his shoulder about the aristocracy. I've heard you say so."
"My mother thinks that," Agatha said.
"He's still the mage."
"Stop," I choked out. "Pull over."
Penny turned back to me.
"Are you okay? Are you going to be sick?"
"No," I said. "I just need to get out. Please."
Agatha yanked the car over to the side of the road, kicking up a cloud of dust and gravel, then turned in her seat to look at me.
"What's wrong, Simon?"
"I need to go back."
"Why?"
I put my hand